Accession number 14977, Ernest Harvey, Reel 1.
Mr. Harvey, Reel 1. When and where were you born, Mr. Harvey?
5 Kenton Row, Hetley Hall, County Down.
Were there other brothers and sisters in the family?
I had other 4 brothers. They were all minors eventually.
Where were you in the order of the births?
I was the 3rd youngest. And I went to Wetland School, and at the age of about 12 and a half I had rheumatic fever, and actually I was excluded from school, and I had to be learned how to walk again. I was completely paralysed for about 6 months, and after I was excluded from school I was fortunate enough to get employed by Hetton Downs Cooperative Society in Market Street.
Before we come to that, what did your father do?
My father was also a miner at Appleden Colliery.
Did your mother work?
No. I think my mother had plenty to do with having 5 boys.
Appleden Colliery itself was a mining village?
It was a mining village, yes.
What kind of house did you live in?
It was a colliery house with the old fireplace and the old boiler, you know. They used to have a bath in the middle of the floor, and I remember having to scrub the box on a night when they came home from school, you know, came home from the pit, I should say.
How many rooms were there in the house?
There was 2 bedrooms, and like a living room and a kitchen, and a small pantry. And then we had like a large garden where we used to keep pigs.
What were the sleeping arrangements?
The sleeping arrangements, I think there was 1, 2, 3, there was 4 of us in 1 bedroom, I can remember, you know. But life was hard because, I mean, those days we didn't have carpets on the floor, it was all canvas, if you were fortunate enough to have canvas.
Did you receive, as most miners did, your free coal?
Free coal, yes. I think it was partly every week they used to come, you know. In fact, they used to come, the midden morning used to come first to clean the toilets out, you know, the old-fashioned middens, and then they used to put the lime down, and then after those had gone, the coal motor used to come and drop his coal, and then they used to put the coals in, you know. Of course, it was a very large fire, and they used to put the coals on by the bucketful.
Was there plenty to eat in the home?
Yes, we were rather fortunate because we kept quite a lot of poultry, you know, and I mean, my mum, she was very good. In fact, she could kill a rabbit that would be in the oven inside a quarter of an hour. The same way with chickens, you know, she could do anything.
So she'd make a great deal of her own food, bread and this.
Oh, yes, she used to make her own bread and more or less everything, you know. And that, yeah, there was a large pan which used to be always on the fire, and then after that was used for making cloth puddings for me brothers and my dad coming in from work. When that was finished, that used to be washed out, and it also used to be used for the washing. So you can imagine having 5 boys and doing everything more or less, cooking and washing. Life was very hard, which I suppose is understandable.
Were your parents strong disciplinarians?
No, I would say why one word from my dad and that was it. You know, they're very good. More or less we did as we were told. Of course we had to.
Was it a closely knit community?
Yes, I think the neighbours were very good. The doors was always open, and more or less everybody helped each other in those days, which of course they had to. There's times, you know, times is really hard.
Do you recall any situation where your father was out of work and things were really tough?
No, but he used to get on about the strike. When the strike was on, things was very bad, you know. Of course, I was born in 1923, you know, and the strike was 26, so really I didn't know a lot about it.
What was the name of the first school you went to?
It was Eppledon School. And I would think I would leave school then at the age of 12 and a half, and I never went back no more.
What memories have you of school?
Well, I think just Christmas times, really, you know. And writing, I was always exceptionally good at writing. I was always more or less top of the class for writing. I think that was always my best subject. And the milk, we always used to get free milk every day at school, which we used to look forward to.
Were there any teachers that particularly stand out in your mind?
Two sisters by the name of Wilkinson, who were quite good.
What did you, as a young child, what kind of things did you get up to in leisure time activities?
We used to go over the dam fishing, bird nesting, blackberry picking. Anything such as that.
Was your health good up till 12 year old?
Up till then, my health was really, I would say it was quite good. Till then.
And the health of the rest of the family, was that
the
good?
The health of the family, it was quite good, yes.
You said that you caught this illness at the age of 12 and you left school then. And did you get a job quickly, or was there a period of time where you basically...
Well, I'll be about 14 and a half when a vacancy, they wanted three boys at Hetton Down Store, and I applied and I got one of the jobs at the Central. And I was there more or less until the war started.
Whilst you were ill, were your family having to find money for your medicines and so forth?
Yes, well, we had quite a good doctor, a Dr. Elkelenboom, and he used to come, and the nurse used to come more or less and bathe me nearly every day. In fact, I remember when I was once prayed over by the preacher, came and gave a service over me. And
things were as bad as that?
Things were really bad, you know. And I was really paralysed. My mates used to come in and stick pins in me. And they used to think it was marvellous, but I couldn't feel anything. But eventually, I had an uncle who came more or less nearly every night, and he used to massage my joints. And I remember one night when he was massaging my joints, I got the whole use of the whole of my body, you know. I could feel, and I told him, I said, I can feel it there. And I got the use of my legs back that night, and the tears were streaming down his eyes. So.
And the cost of all this medical help that was coming through the doctor and nurse, was that found through some insurance situation?
I think so. I think it came through a special minus fund or something, you know. In fact, after that, I remember going to Heatherdene Home, which was done by the miners at Harrogate. I went there for a fortnight through the... That was through the miners, because of my health.
You started work, you say. What was your job?
I worked as a grocer, a trainee grocer in the Co-op. More or less, I served my time in the grocer shop.
What hours did you work?
I used to start at 8:30 in the morning till 12:30, and then back at 1:30, and then finish at 5. And then on a Friday, we used to finish at 7 o'clock at night.
Did you work Saturdays?
We worked Saturdays for quite a while, and we finished at 5 on a Saturday.
And how much was your first wage?
First wage, I think, was about £1.50, I would think. I'm not certain, you know, but I think it'd be something like that. I know it wasn't a lot.
Was it heavy work?
It wasn't heavy work, no. I mean, I used to put up sugar and rub the cones down. The cones used to come in large boxes, and I used to open them and rub them all down. And the sugar, weigh all the sugar out and wrap the sugar, and then sweeping up. No, any jobs what was going, and filling fixtures, and cutting butter. Of course, they used to come in casks and large casks.
How long did you do that?
Well, I would do that, I would think, until I was about 17 and a half, and then I was transferred into the hardware department, furniture and hardware.
What did that job entail?
Well, that job entailed opening large crates full of china, emptying all the china, and when the wagons came in, unloading the wagons, buckets, well, everything, spades, everything, gardening material, dishes, more or less anything to do with the furniture or hardware, anything in general, carpets.
Did this bring an increase in your wages?
Not at first, but it did in later years. And lane ore, we used to do supply lots of lane ore. And cutting cork ore matting used to be all the rage then.
How popular was the cooperative shop in the village?
Oh, the court was very popular. It used to be always packed. In fact, on a Friday, you couldn't get moved. It was really good working there. Of course, you used to have the old fashioned railways going round with the balls. You used to open the balls and put the change in where it used to go to the office, and there was a girl at the other end used to take it out and then send your change back. It was very interesting. And we used to have to serve the customers then. It was all counter work.
Did the business give a dividend to the customers?
Yes. Sometimes it was 2 shillings, 2 and 6. It varied from every quarter. Of course, that's what the customers used to look forward to, was the dividend, you know.
Did you stay in the hardware department, I think you said, very long?
I was in the hardware department until I was called up, which was in 42.
Did you, in the course of your early life, did you get involved in Boy Scouts or Church or Lads Brigade?
No. No, there's nothing like that.
After work, Mr. Harvey, how did you spend your leisure time?
Well, we used to go to the cinema. It was all pictures then. We used to go to the pavilion. There was the pavilion and the Imperial, which was both at Hetton. Then there's also, I think, there's 1, 2, 3 cinemas at Horton. It was all cinemas in those days. It was all pictures. And then we used to play snooker. There was quite a few places where I wanted to go and play snooker.
Did you have to seek any qualifications for your work? Were you doing any evening class work?
Yes, I used to go to Hitting Lions and night classes. I did 3 years bookkeeping at Hitting Lions School. And I also did a course at the Hitting Downs Court. We used to have it at the church hut. The chapel, we had a hut, the store hut we called it, where we used to do a course there, which was more or less advanced bookkeeping again.
Were you expected to do this as part of your job?
Well, yes, I think they looked forward to you going. You know, actually, it was for our own benefit that we did this. I mean, you must remember, if you wanted to get on in life, you had to... The more you learned, the better it was for you.
Were you a member of any church?
I used to be a member of the Methodist Chapel. Methodist chapel, which was at the High Downs, which we used to go there pretty regular. They used to have the Wednesday Endeavour on a Wednesday, you know, every Wednesday. It was quite good. In fact, I remember being on the chapel concert there. I was captain of a ship, which was quite, we used to enjoy ourselves there.
Was this some kind of youth section that was in the church or chapel?
Well, I think it was like, it was, you know, there was quite a lot used to go then. Of course, as I say, like entertainment was only pictures and things like that.
Was this the influence of your family? Were they Methodists?
Yes. I think all our family were Methodists.
And you'd gone to the chapel as a family for many years?
That's right, yes.
So religion became quite important to you?
It did then, but I think as we got older, we just drifted away. And I think that was it, sort of. You know, as you get older, you seem to broaden your outlook. And actually now, well, I mean, it's just odd times when we go back to chapel now. I think births, deaths and marriages, I think, is the only time the sea is like, but I think it's the same more or less with everybody.
You'd be about 16 when the war began.
In 37, I would think I would be... the war started in 39, I would be... I joined in 42, yes, I would think I would be about 16 and a half, I would think.
Do you recall the day that war broke out?
Oh, yes, I remember it was on a Sunday, because we were down the garden at the time, and I remember my dad and all dashing along to the end of the street, and the all saying, we want to join up and do this and do that, and it was quite a day. And if I remember correctly, I think the sirens went that particular night.
Was there great excitement at war?
Well, there was at the beginning, but a sort of... died down after a while. Of course, all the terriers, there was quite a number of terriers in the area, and those all had to go away, more or less straight away.
Your parents, of course, had come through the First World War.
Yes.
Were there any fears?
Well, that's it, because my mum's brother, he was killed in the First World War. He was in the Durham Light Infantry, and he was killed in France. I always remember that we used to have a large photo of him above the mantelpiece.
Could you see yourself getting into the forces? Or did you dream that you'd get in?
Well, I couldn't actually, because of my illness, and my dad says, you'll never pass for the forces. And actually, I said, well, I'm quite fit, because during the summer months, I used to go to the farm when I could, and help out in the farm doing light work, and really I thought I was very fit, but I tried to join something to do with the Navy. It was more or less in the grocery side, I forgot the name of it now, but my dad says, oh, they'll never pass you, so I didn't bother. But when I did go, they graded me A1. You know?
What are your memories of the early stages of the war, which were pretty disastrous years?
The early days, yes, it was a worrying time, I think, for everybody then, you know.
Were you noticing that men who lived amongst you for so long weren't coming back?
Because in our same street, I had, there was Isaac Smith, he went away, and he was taken prisoner, and there's quite a number, these were in the terriers, and Frankie Wilson, there's quite a number of them went away, and Douglas Fisher, and he was killed in the Durham Light Infantry, he went away and he didn't come back, and I think that would be 1940 when Douglas was killed.
You were continuing at work. Were you getting involved in any of the civilian war activities?
I was, yes, actually I joined the Home Guard, and I remember I used to go to the hall at the top of the Downs Lane, which we called the old tin pot hall, and we used to do drilling. Of course, we didn't have rifles, They used to use these old boom shanks, and then we had a major Sharp. He was our major. He also had a large shoe shop. He had a shoe shop in Hitton, and he was the major. And we had a Sergeant Richardson, and Corporal Lone. He used to learn us how to handle the grenades, how to detonate them and take the detonators out. And then we used to go throwing grenades, and we used to go on exercises.
How were you able to join the Home Guard? What was the process?
Well, if my memory serves us right, I think I just had to go in and then just sign my hand, and I was in, really. You know, I think you just had to be 16 years of age, if I'm not mistaken, to join then.
Where did you join? Was it at a recruitment place or the police station? Or where?
Well, I'm not sure now. No, I'm not certain. I think I just went to the Tin Pot Hall and I just signed up there. You know, and the sergeant just took my name and I just signed my hand and I was in, more or less. And then I got a uniform.
How often in a week did you meet?
Met about, I would think, twice a week, because for the reason for that, I used to have to do fire watching at the store, and nights I couldn't get there and I was having to fire watch all night at the Corp. You know, there's about four of us, each night was detailed, and used to sleep in the Corp and go out like every 2 hours to walk around the buildings when there was a raid on and see if everything was all right. And then other nights I would be with the Home Guard.
You mentioned their raids. What was air activity was taking place around this area?
Well, there was one or two, like, but we fortunately, we never had nobody, but I think it was Sunderland mainly. They always had quite a number of bombings.
And you'd be able to see and hear this?
Well, oh yes, we could hear the planes and see them going over, you know. And of course, we used to have a large area shelter in the store under the warehouse, which had been reinforced with concrete. In fact, I think it's still there.
Did you have an area shelter at home?
We had an Anderson shelter in the garden. It's only about 5 yards away from the house, which was regularly used.
Do you have gas masks? And
we had gas masks, which we had to more or less carry around with us all the time. Yes.
Were there many raids and disturbances for you?
No, there wasn't quite a lot of raids. But the thing was, we still had to be on duty. So, raids or not, we still had to be there. And I mean, we used to have these fire buckets and long handles with like a shovel on the end for the sand and to put the incendiaries out if there was any fail. And of course, that was it. You had to be on duty just in case. But fortunately, we didn't have any.
So you're not far from Sunderland?
Oh, no, we're not far from Sunderland. About 6 miles, I would think.
You mentioned that you were 2 nights a week training with the Home Guard. Those very early days, what type of person were forming the Home Guard?
Well, they were nearly all businessmen, I would think, you know. In fact, the first man to join the Hitton Home Guard, he was a chap called Norman Rand. He was a foreman at the Eppledon Pit. And I always remember because he used to live next door to me, and he told me, he says, Ernie, I was the first man to join the Home Guard at Hitton, and he had to join at the police station. That's where he signed on, now that you come to mention where you joined him. And he signed on, he was the first man to join. And then Major Sharp, well, he was a businessman, but I would think the majority was somebody in an official position.
What age range did it cover?
Oh, I would think what? Up to about 60, I would think.
You mentioned at first that you didn't have uniforms, you didn't have any weapons.
Well, we didn't, but eventually we did. We did get fixed up with uniforms, and we did get rifles. We got the Lee Enfields.
Did you drill before you got this equipment? Did you drill in your civilians and with your broomsticks?
Well, some of those we did inside with the brooms until we got the rifles, and then of course we start training with the rifles, and we used to know what to do with them.
Did the uniforms and the weapons, did they come quickly, or was it a slow process?
Oh, it was a slow process. But and eventually we did.
Did you get them in batches, or enough to cover everyone all at once?
In batches. I think we'd get them in batches.
It must have been quite something to be able to say that you could handle the rifle.
That's right.
Your rifle.
Yes. So I remember once we went to on a scheme on Cotton Hall, which is somewhere on between Hetton and Durham, and we were in these woods. It was on a training scheme, and I remember there was myself and another chap. We were taken prisoner on this scheme, and he was catching rabbits all night.
Was the training full military training, as with the rest of the army?
Well, I would think it would be. The only thing was we weren't firing any live ammunition. We did actually fire on a rifle range which was situated at Hetton Colliery. They had a rifle range there. We would go there maybe once a fortnight. Of course, they were coming there from different areas to use this rifle range at Hetton Colliery. That's the Lions Colliery, not Evelyn Colliery, where they had this rifle range.
Were the weapons kept at your homes or in an armoury somewhere?
Oh, they were kept in an armoury.
You didn't bring them home?
We didn't bring them home, no. Not to my... I can't remember bringing them home.
Were you attached to the county regiment?
No. At least not to my knowledge.
Did you have cap badges, buttons?
Yes, we had cap badges, buttons.
What was the badge?
DLI. Yes, they were all DLI badges. Infantry.
Was it tough training as amateurs?
No, the training wasn't tough. I mean, sort of, if you didn't want to do it, sort of, you could sort of... I mean, after all, you were just volunteers, you know, if you didn't feel like going, well... You just put your apologies in, more or less, and you didn't go. As simple as that, like. But they used to look forward to you going. And we used to look forward to going. Because we used to meet all our friends there.
Did you feel that this was your effort to win the war?
Well, we did at the time, you know.
Were there any thoughts that you might have to meet an enemy?
Well, at the time, I don't think there was. No, I don't think there was.
Remembering the training you had, do you feel that you could have met an enemy, like the Germans?
Oh, I could have done, I suppose, yes. Oh, yes. Yes, could have done. Could have dealt with them as well. If we'd had, we did have rifles, like, but rifles I don't think would have been sufficient in those times. Not to compare to what Jerry had.
You can't recall being trained and using other weapons?
No. It was mainly rifles and hand grenades and mortars. I think we did have 3-inch mortars. But that's about the only thing I can remember using. But I can't remember firing live ammunition from the mortars.
You said you went on schemes. How long did they last?
Just for the weekend. A weekend scheme. I would say 48 hours.
And how often were they held?
I can only remember going to 2.
You'd be subject to army-style discipline?
Oh, yes.
Did any men give any trouble?
No. Not in the Home Guard. There was no bother. No, they were quite good.
You didn't have an annual camp situation?
No, not then. I don't think it was convenient, you know, not during wartime, because the majority of men were working and they were just more or less doing this in their spare time.
But you felt you became quite proficient with your weapons?
Oh, yes, definitely.
And with the drill?
Yes. Oh, yes, I found it was to help me on in later years.
Did you get a bounty? Was there any money involved?
No, I can't remember getting any money, not from the Home Guard.
You say that it helped you in later years when you came into the army.
Yes.
As you became closer to that day, did you realise that you would be going in the forces?
Oh yes. As time went by, yes.
How did you feel about that? Was there a war on and people weren't coming back? You were saying
the only thing was that would have stopped me was my health, more or less. That was the only snag until I did go and have a medical. But as time went by, I knew we would be going in.
Were you looking forward to it?
Well, I think I was, but the family wasn't, you know. Those didn't want me to go, which I suppose now when you think about it, it's only natural, you know, to see your son go to war. I don't think it's very good.
Do you recall the way that people reacted to Dunkirk?
Yes, they had a hard time, the chaps I knew who came back, you know. They weren't too keen on going back to war. After talking to some of them, you know, who survived, of course they were more or less complaining about the equipment. They were all ill-equipped, and that's where I think the snag was.
Did it bother you talking to people who had been in action and had come through these things?
No, not in those days. I think when you were only a young chap at the age of 18 and 19, you didn't bother, you weren't worried about anything. You just accepted things as they came.